Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 3? This morning we're going to look at the Trinity. And as I was telling the children, it is sort of a difficult concept to wrap your mind around. That we have one God, but there's three distinct persons in that Godhead. Read with me, or I'll read, I'll read and talk, and you guys can read along with me. Chapter 3, starting in the 16th and 17th verse, which is the baptism of Jesus. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." At Jesus' baptism, we now have the beginnings of the idea of the Trinity. Present there with all those people and John the Baptist was God the Father. He spoke. God the Son, who was being baptized. And the Holy Spirit that came down in the form of a dove and lighted on him. We have three distinct persons of the Godhead. The word Trinity is not found anywhere in the Bible, but the concept of the Trinity is clearly stated as in the verses we just read. Now, the Old Testament alludes to the idea that there is more than one person, but there is only one God with three persons in that God. The Father is God. Throughout Scripture, God is said to be a Father. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father in heaven." In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 9, we read, and we've read this. This is the prayer that we recited earlier. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." God is not only our Father in heaven, but he's also the Father of our spirits. In him we have our dwelling. As God, he is the object of worship. Jesus told the woman of Samaria, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." Jesus was trying to expand her mind. God is not only just our Father who is heaven, but he's also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we say that Jesus is the Son of the living God, they are of the same essence. God the Father, God the Son, two distinct personalities, but of the same essence. In John, in Romans chapter 1, verse 7, Paul, speaking to the Romans, he says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." He put them on equal footing. Grace can only come from God. True grace. I could give you grace in forgiving you if you would wrong me or something, but as just a human grace. But the grace that comes from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ is an all-encompassing grace. So God the Father and God the Son are so to speak, co-equal, but they're two distinct personalities. Indeed, the Father and the Son are often related to these very names, as in verses in Matthew 11, 27, and I'm going to return back there because there is so much to the concept of the Trinity that we would be all over the Bible all morning long. And I don't want to be here for the next 2 weeks, but I have to give you little bits and pieces. So in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, all things have been committed to me by my Father. This is Jesus speaking. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. In order to grasp the concept of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit must give us wisdom on that. It is a faith that we believe that. It is something, faith, and it's such a profound mystery that there is a God, one God, but in Him dwells Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's an extraordinary thing, because as we go about our lives, as we're doing things, and this happened to me many, many times, I'll be out doing something, whether at work, a lot of times it's at work, because that's when I get to meet other people. I'm out in the public. I'm trying to get the electric back on, or I'm trying to do something, and I'll pray, Holy Spirit, do you want me to give a message to this particular person? Or is there someone in this group of people that I'm with? Holy Spirit, do I need to talk to them? So as the Trinity, and sometimes I'll pray, Father, is this where I need to be? Or Lord Jesus, what would you have me do in this instance? We deal with the concept of the Trinity all the time because we're constantly praying in ourselves in whatever situation you're in. Whether you're at the grocery store, or possibly you could be at a family picnic and you're dealing with someone in your family who you love very much, although they're difficult, and you're praying, Lord, how can I talk to them? Mothers, I know you've prayed over your children. Holy Spirit, give me patience. You're praying it all the time. The concept of the Trinity is already in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, because as you go about your life, you're praying either to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. We do it all the time. I know I do it. In any given moment, I may pray, Father, I need your help. Or Lord Jesus, strengthen me. Or Holy Spirit, give me insight. I was praying last night, preparing the sermon. Holy Spirit, give me insight. And I had all my books out, and I'm going through all this stuff, and I'm leading all these really big words, and I'm going, I can't even pronounce some of them. I'm not putting them in the sermon. I don't want to mispronounce a word for you. And they know really how dumb I really am. We're all kind of dumb, aren't we? It's the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, that teaches us. Jesus spoke many times about His Father. He referred to Him as my Father in heaven. My Father in heaven. My Father in heaven. How wonderful that is. And He brought that concept to us when He came to earth. In the Old Testament, they knew God as Yahweh, one God, one God, one God. And Jesus expanded on that and He said, yes, there is one God. But He is my Father in heaven, and I am His Son. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they wanted to pick up stones and stone Him for that, because they understood when He said, I am that I am, that He was putting Himself and saying, I'm God in the flesh. So in the New Testament, that whole concept of the Trinity, of the three persons in the Godhead, is brought to light and given to us. And our Heavenly Father, He looks out for us. He demonstrated this love that while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son to pay the price for our sins. The only person that could have paid that price, the sinless Son of God. He said, I love you, as in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Him. And what's extraordinary is the Son said, yes, I'll go. I'll go and take that incredible price that must be paid upon myself so that our sins could be forgiven. The Son, working in the will of the Father, came so that my sins could be forgiven. That is so extraordinary. It wells up inside me. My heart just pumps thinking about it. Oh my goodness. I have been made new. I have been forgiven because my Father in heaven loved me. And He wanted to make a way. A way that I could have a relationship with Him. A way that we could have a relationship with God the Father. Through God the Son. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The three persons. It's all through the Scriptures. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Verse 5. Another look at the Trinity. I am very sorry. I made a mistake in my sermon. I gave you the wrong verse. Actually, it's down at 17. 17, verse 5, not 16, 17, Matthew 17, verse 5. Now, Jesus took some of the disciples and they went up on this mountain. He said, come with me, we're going on a little road trip, okay? They had no idea what was going to happen. They said, okay, Jesus, we'll go. This is great, road trip. Everybody like road trip? I like road trip. And they get up on top of the mountain. And there He was transfigured. The glory that He had in heaven was now placed upon Him at the top of the mountain. And it was extraordinary. He just glowed so brightly. His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, we will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while He was speaking, Peter, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him. The Father talking directly to the disciples. I don't know if anybody here has heard the audible voice of God. I think if we did, we would probably drop down on our knees and listen. I know if I heard God's audible voice coming, David, do this. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. But here is another example of God the Father with God the Son. Jesus the Son came to reveal who His Father was, what He was like, what He wants for us, and to demonstrate His mercy. And in many ways He did. He said, my Father loves you. My Father will take care of you. When Jesus talked about the sparrows and how God takes care of the birds of the air, He feeds them. How much more are you worth than just the birds? But then in faith, if we look to God the Father through the Holy Spirit in God the Son, does He not take care of our needs? How many here could say, this week alone, God has provided something for me? Yes. All of us could say that God is providing the very breath that we take, the physical life that we have, is being sustained. If you ever end up in the hospital sick, you will think about your mortality and what word am I thinking of, Lord? How precious our physical life is, because it could be snuffed out in a second. If something doesn't work right in your body, you could be on a gurney and they could be taking you to the undertaker. That is a realization. Your very breath comes from God. It's an extraordinary thing. Let us move on to the Son. I know I've talked about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but I want to touch on Jesus a little bit. Jesus took for himself glory. It says in Isaiah, way back in the Old Testament, in the 42nd chapter in verse 8, Isaiah wrote, "I am the Lord God Yahweh, that is my name, and I will not give to another glory, my glory." This is what the Lord said, "I am the first, I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God." And likewise, Jesus prayed this, "Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Jesus is saying, glorify me with the glory I had with you before any of this ever was here. Before there was a universe, sun, stars, planets, trees, rocks, human beings, animals, birds. Before all of that, Jesus existed with the Father and had glory with him. This is an extraordinary thing. If Jesus would have said that and not been the Son of God, that would have been blasphemy. That would have been blasphemy. That's why they wanted to stone him. When he put himself on equal footing with God, the religious leaders of that time knew exactly what he was saying. Jesus is, in essence, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not only does the Holy Spirit possess deity, but he also has a personality. The Holy Spirit has a personality. It is a him. It is not just a power. You'll run up against some false religions out there that says, "Oh, the Holy Spirit, only God's power working in the world." No. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. The Scriptures refers to him with personal pronoun. It says him. Him, the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit, this person of the Godhead, he does things that only a person can do, such as he teaches. The Holy Spirit teaches us when we read the Scriptures. I always pray when I read my Scriptures, when I'm reading my Bible, "Holy Spirit, enlighten me." And isn't it extraordinary that as you read through the Scriptures, you'll read a part, say you read something in Matthew, and you might have read it 100 times, okay? And then you read it this one time and you're praying, "Holy Spirit, enlighten me," and he gives you something new. Something you need at this point in your life. You never saw it before, but now you see it. That's the Holy Spirit working in you, talking to you, teaching you. So he teaches. He convicts us of our sins. Have you heard that little voice in the back of your head when you've done something wrong? It's the Holy Spirit talking to you. "That wasn't right. Boy, Dave, you really flew off the handle there." We've all been there, haven't we? He convicts us of sin. And that is a good thing. Because when you're convicted of sin and you know that you've made a mistake, That's the Holy Spirit. It's the Son. It's the Father saying, repent of that sin, come back to me. You're drifting away. Come back. Give grace. I have a difficult person I have to deal with at work every now and then. And I had the opportunity to really come down on him hard. And I mean real hard. I could have went to the company foreman and said, this person is not working out. He's not cooperating. He's difficult. Doesn't want to do what I say. And when he does what I say, he takes way too long to do it. Because in my job, I'm a lineman leader. I take groups of linemen out, first classes, second classes, apprentice linemen, and we go out and we put the wires back up. We get the power back on. We go put the pole in the ground after someone has run right into it. But to make a long story short, I had a difficult person. And I prayed about it. I said, Holy Spirit, how can I deal with this difficult person? He's very difficult. And the Holy Spirit told me in my spirit, give him grace. I've given you grace, David. Don't you think you could give him some grace? And I did. I gave him grace. I didn't go to the foreman or the company people and say, this is a difficult person. I gave him grace. Months later, after we had stopped working together and had started a different job, and he moved on to another job, still in the line department, I had a company person come to me and say, you know what, David? We're very proud that you did not throw that person under the bus. And I thought, wow, they're coming to me and saying that because I gave him grace, they have more respect for me as a leader. There are times in your life when things get so difficult and they are so hard and the people around you are so difficult and unrelenting that all you have is the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that those times don't come often for myself and for you, but they're going to come. There's going to be difficult people in your lives. There's going to be difficult situations in your life. And you need the Holy Spirit to talk to you, to strengthen you, to give you that heart, which is the heart of God, giving grace to other people. And one other thing, when good things happen in your life, tell the Holy Spirit about it. Thank Him. I really had a great day today. Things went really well. My son did his homework without him giving us a hard time. I thank the Holy Spirit for that. Because the Holy Spirit is working in your lives. He's moving all about us. Isn't it great that we have a God? And I'm going to use the word manifests. But I'm not sure that is the correct word to use. But I don't know what else word to use. The Trinity is such a difficult concept to wrap around in this feeble human mind that we have a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. And that in their wisdom, in God's wisdom, He has delegated different jobs for the different persons of God. God the Father sent the Son. God the Son came and paid the price and washed our sins with His blood. God the Holy Spirit comes to dwell with us. They are each unique and individual, but they all form God. God spoke of this extraordinary relationship when He gave the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. And He said to His disciples, and He says to us, we take these words and we appoint them to ourselves because we are what? We are disciples. We're disciples. I'm a disciple, Marion's a disciple, Bob, Steve, Leslie, Root, you're a disciple. You're a disciple. And he says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, not names, but in the name of God, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity. Everything that we need, we can find in God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I'm going to close this sermon with a prayer. And I'm going to Acts chapter 2. The extraordinary thing that happened at Pentecost. And I'm praying for this congregation that this would actually happen. Can you imagine this? We're going to read this together. I'll read this to you. And I want you to think in your minds that this actually occurred this morning. Could you see it this morning? I could see it this morning. And when the day of Pentecost came, this is chapter 2 in Acts, they were all together in one place like we are. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Oh, the wind coming through this building. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to see a flame on Beth, and I want to see a flame everywhere on everybody's head, filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what the Heart of Christ Church could do as a congregation when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that the flames are coming out of the top of our heads? We look like candles walking around with that flame going out and changing the world. For who? For God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, giving out that gospel, making disciples. Extraordinary things. I would love to see that to occur. I think some of us would pass out. I might even be one of them. I look down and see this flame coming out of the top of Bob's head. Oh. Extraordinary. These things happen. And I'm praying for that, for this congregation. I want to see every one of you so filled with the Holy Spirit that we are out just working for God, telling people about the gospel. It don't matter if you're in Walmart, don't matter if you're in the Tractor Supply, you could be in the feed store getting chicken feed. Guess what I have to share with you today? Jesus Christ came and died for your sins. You can be in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That is our job. That is what we're supposed to do. Live it every day and every moment, filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, right now I feel filled with the Holy Spirit. My limbs are shaking a little bit. I got this chill running up and down my back. Might be because it's a little chilly in here. But I got my union suit on. Everybody knows what a union suit is. Bob knows. Some of the younger people, they don't know what they are. You know what the union suit is. Oh, what an extraordinary thing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And because He is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit resides in us. The fullness of God. As I told the children, God used to dwell in temples made of stone. Now He dwells in the hearts of flesh. He dwells in us. The fullness of God, the creator of the entire universe, lives in us. I should pass out right now, just thinking about it. Would you rise with me and pray? Father in heaven, we thank you so much. I pray that my feeble attempt to explain the wonders of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, but one God. Holy Spirit, only you can teach these people what that means. Only you, Lord Jesus, can help us. Only you, Father in heaven, can give us what we need to know that we might be your servants this day and every day, and that the heart of Christ Church, through the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is going to go out there and it's going to change Lebanon County, the state of Pennsylvania, and out into the entire world for your glory, in whose name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen.